what I found intriguing is I went back and I looked at these five guys, these five people, and there's more. I mean, if we could go through scripture and find others, I'm sure. But I found it was interesting. David asked for one thing. The rich young ruler lacked one thing. Martha needed one thing. The blind man knew one thing, and Paul did one thing.
From the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, welcome to Intentional Living. Your host is Dr. Randy Carlson, a best-selling author and your advocate for the family. Dr. Randy concludes his series, The Power of One Thing, When God is in It. Now, to help you be intentional for your life, here's Randy.
Thank you, Kurt, and welcome to this final day as we wrap up this series on The Power of One Thing, When God is in It. I'm excited about this series. It's based on the book that I wrote, The Power of One Thing, but taking you to Scripture and seeing five examples of people who lived the power of one thing, commanded to focus on one thing, and what it did in their lives. I hope you found some great encouragement from today's or from this series. And just before we go back to the teaching studio and wrap up the series, let me remind you that our Intentional Love Marriage Conference, one of the essential areas of life, strong marriages, godly marriages, marriages that are living intentionally in Christ, that are thriving and growing. Well, we're focused in equipping couples. And we're going to be starting up the Fall Intentional Love Marriage Conference date nights. I get to teach in Michigan, Midland, and Jackson in October, New Mexico later October in Albuquerque, and then across Arizona, Glendale, Chandler, and Tucson coming up in November. Early bird discount right now, 25% off. All the proceeds go into the ministry. And but you need to register now. It's kind of an incentive, early incentive. So check it out and make that a love gift for your spouse and your marriage. Go to theintentionallife.com. Click on events, theintentionallife.com. All right, to the teaching studio and the power of one thing.
Let me share one more snapshot with you. If you want to turn over to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And here we have the Apostle Paul. And of course, we know Apostle Paul had been in prison. I mean, this guy had a rough life. I mean, you start reading about the Apostle Paul, he didn't have it easy. And in chapter 3, he warns against confidence in the flesh. He talks about all the things that he's done in his life, kind of all the things he's been through in his life. And then he gives this exhortation to really know Christ personally. And in chapter 3 of Philippians, in verses 13 and 14, here's what he says. He says, "Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do. Forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." What I find interesting in this whole thing is to ask this question: what is one thing that you must do in your life and I must do? What I found intriguing is I went back and I looked at these five guys, these five people, and there's more. I mean, if we could go through Scripture and find others, I'm sure. But I found it was interesting. David asked for one thing. The rich young ruler lacked one thing. Martha needed one thing. The blind man knew one thing, and Paul did one thing. Isn't that interesting? I mean, that'd preach. I mean, Pastor, if you're listening to this or watching this, I just gave you a great sermon outline. There it is, because that's really what we see. So this one thing will come into our life in different ways. It'll look different. It'll feel different. It might be the question to you is, what do you ask of the Lord? What's the one thing you ask, or what's the one thing you need, or the one thing you lack? Or what's the one thing you know you should be doing, or the one thing that you know for sure? Now, when we teach intentional living, you know that we look at goals and we look at actions. How do we really do it? What does it mean to have a goal? I mean, goal, the term goal is something that seems so just human. You know, just have a goal. What do we learn from goal setting? How do we set a goal that's really going to be honoring to God and the power of one thing, living with one thing. And how do we take actions and turn them into habits? And of course, with the matrix that we teach, if you look at that, you can see that the matrix is intentional living. There is in quadrant one, where you have high goals. People who have high goals but also then are taking action or developing habits are living there in quadrant one, right? You can see the high arrows. That's where we want to be. What's interesting is when I do conferences, most people don't put themselves in that quadrant. We wrestle with that. But some people will say, I'm really great in some areas of my life, in that, but not in other areas. I might be really intentional about my finances and have one thing I'm really focused on, but not so much when it comes to growing my faith. And God's intention, of course, is that if you see what we've just been through in this lesson, it all comes back to Him first, getting that one thing first, and then these other things occur. And then, of course, many of us live in that upper left quadrant, quadrant two, with our friend the grasshopper. And we use the grasshopper because the grasshopper reminds us that it's easy to jump from one thing to another, to another, to another. People that have really great actions, they're busy, 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 but don't have goals to support those actions, are people who are jumping from one thing to another, to another, to another, and living what I call an unintentional life. That's the quadrant of living unintentionally. And then many of us wrestle, if I do, it's in that quadrant four, with our little cricket friend who makes a lot of noise, chirpy noise, because, you know, they know what they want to do. They have high goals, but they don't follow through. They procrastinate. That's the box of procrastination. Like a cricket. You know how a cricket is? Makes a lot of noise, talking about all the things they want to do. And then when you get close to a cricket, what does he do? He stops, you know. When you challenge someone who's a cricket, you know they're going to go silent because they really don't have anything to show for all of the words and goals that they've set.
You're listening to Dr. Randy's teaching from The Power of One Thing When God Is in It. And he'll pick up where he left off in just a moment.
You know, those who support the Intentional Living Center every month have a key role in helping this ministry to continue teaching people around the world to live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. Well, maybe you haven't felt led to become a monthly partner, but could you give a single gift of $100 or more? We need your help in getting caught up, because we have chosen to be intentional with our finances. So, for the month of June, when you give, we'd like to send you a brand new book that will help you be an intentional, fruitful parent. It's called The Fruit of the Spirit, a 30-day guide to fruitful parenting. Can you give? Then go now to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Or call during West Coast business hours, 1-888-1717, and press number 4. Thanks.
Now, let's get back with Dr. Randy as he continues his teaching from The Power of One Thing When God Is in It.
Then many of us wrestle, if I do, it's in that quadrant 4, with our little cricket friend who makes a lot of noise, chirpy noise, because, you know, they know what they want to do. They have high goals, but they don't follow through. They procrastinate. That's the box of procrastination. Like a cricket. You know how a cricket is? Makes a lot of noise, talking about all the things they want to do. And then when you get close to a cricket, what does he do? He stops. You know, when you challenge someone who's a cricket, you know they're going to go silent because they really don't have anything to show for all of the words and goals that they've set. Now, let me share with staff. You know, you see me wear this little wristband every day. And I notice some of you do too. It's not a requirement. We don't say, hey, to work here at the ministry, you got to wear the one thing wristband every day. But I thought it was important for you to see why I wear it, why we make these. I spoke this last Sunday downtown at the University City Church. About 30, 40% were all college students. And I told Don, I said, man, this is the group I love talking to. If we can talk to these young Christians about living intentionally when they're 18, you know, 20 years old. And I told them, I said, you guys, I said, you get this stuff right now. And then when your hair turns gray later on, you'll look back and say, hey, that was good. And all the gray hairs that were there, or the few of the gray hairs that were there, shook their head in agreement, see. And it comes back to one thing, and I shared with them. I said, guys, listen. I said, what one thing, as a follower of Christ, you know, based on these things that we've talked about, one thing you lack or one thing you know, what is one thing over the next 30 days, if you were to make that a priority in your life, would make a difference in your life? What is one thing that if you said every day, that's one thing I'm going to set as a goal for myself for the next 30 days, would make a difference in your life? And I brought just, I had, oh, give me a couple of bags of the one thing wristband. I think there were 100 of them. And I ripped it open and I said, hey, if any of you guys would like to wear this, but I said, I don't want you to come and get one of those unless you're going to have one thing for the next 30 days. And then I sat down. I prayed and I sat down. And that church service, they started singing again. They do worship at the, you know, some worship at the end. And people were coming up while they were worshiping to get those. And by the time they closed in prayer, all of them were gone. They were asking me for more. I took the one I had on my wrist and gave it to a guy. And I thought, you know, there's an extension of what we do at Intentional Living. That in Tucson today and down on the university campus and around town, there's some young people and young adults, a lot of young adults and young families there as well, who today are saying, I made one decision. For the next 30 days, I want to honor Christ, bring Him glory in this one area of my life. And I tell people when we give these out, and as you know, you order them, I think. You know, we've gone through thousands of these, thousands upon thousands at all of our conferences. And I see them. I see them around, when I travel. I see people wear these, and they say, hey, this is one thing that I'm working on. So I wanted you as a staff, I want you to know why this power of one thing, what this really means. It's a practical lesson, but it's also a biblical lesson in terms of what power there is when we put a focus on one thing. And what's interesting in the life of all of these people that we shared today, they either chose to be intentional or they chose not to be. And the results were pretty obvious in each case. What's the decision we make? So I would invite you. I'm going to leave these here. Staff, you want to take one of these for yourself? For the next 30 days, you have one thing. That you say, hey, this is your... Not for me. You know, we're not going to go around. I'm not going to ask Janice from HR to keep track of everybody and write it in your personnel file. You get extra brownie points if you wear one or you don't. And if you don't, that's fine. But this is for you. I'd ask you, is there one thing over the next 30 days... Every day you put that on and you say, hey, Lord, over the next 30 days, as I go through this month and part of next month at least, this is one thing that I'd like to focus on in my life that will bring you glory and benefit to myself. Does that make sense? Amen to that. Father, thank you for the privilege of sharing this lesson and that we would see that this message of living intentional is not just so our lives are better. They certainly will be. I mean, there's plenty of evidence that people who choose to live intentionally are going to avoid some unnecessary problems in life and probably do better in the things that they work on because they've been intentional. But way beyond that, as we've learned in Scripture today and the stories of these characters from Scripture, that you are about one thing. You are about having us understand the power of one thing in our life. Thank you for a team that we can work with together. May we be found faithful as we follow you every day. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, we're live back here in our Intentional Living studio. And I want to remind you that this Friday night, for those listening in Kansas City, Lawrence, and in Topeka, that award-winning artist Mark Schultz and myself, we're going to have a night of music and ministry with the Family Life Radio team in Topeka this Friday, June 16th, over at Fellowship Bible Church, and tickets are available. It's going to be a great, fun night. It's going to be very practical. You're going to learn a lot. You're going to laugh. We're going to have a good time. And if you don't have your tickets yet, I hope you will, because we want to meet you. This Friday night, Topeka, Kansas, go to theintentionallife.com. theintentionallife.com. And by the way, when you're there, I want to remind you as well, as with a big thanks in advance for those of you helping us eliminate this current shortfall in donations that we've been experiencing over the last couple of months. And this very special gift, the Fruit of the Spirit, a 30-day guide to fruitful parenting, is our gift to you. So go again. There's the place to go, the website, theintentionallife.com. It's all there for you. All right, Karen is standing by on the phone to talk about her one thing, and we're going to listen in on some of the Q&A that I had with staff and visitors who were here when I taught this lesson, all coming up in just a moment.
It just felt good and liberating to be able to just say no and not feel obligated spending my time that is really valuable to my kids.
Estefana's intentional one thing helped her find more time for her family, and all she had to do was just say no.
Working full-time and doing school has really forced me to look at the time availability and has forced me to really declutter some of the time that I was spending with social gatherings and with friends and people that were just coworkers. People at work would invite me to something and I would say yes, and I thought about it. No, I really don't want to go. And so I was able to just say, you know what, my time is very limited and I'm going to spend time with my kids on Saturday, so I'm not going to attend your function. It just felt good and liberating to be able to just say no.
One thing you can do to live intentionally is to make family time a priority and to just say no to things that keep you from being together. Take the Intentional One Thing Challenge and discover the one thing you can do to find purpose and peace and start living intentionally. Visit theintentionallife.com/one thing.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio.
Randy Carlson here at the Intentional Living Center today, and a success story coming our way. Here we got Karen on the line from Michigan. Karen, how are you today?
Yes, I'm great. How are you?
Fantastic. Appreciate your call. And it looks to me like you got a success story about finance and decisions you made to be intentional.
I do.
Tell us about it.
My husband and I looked at our huge home with our five children gone and decided we had way too much stuff and, you know, we could really use to downsize. And so what we decided to do was target items that we no longer used infrequently, had duplicates of, whatever, to get rid of. And we put them online on the garage sale sites, you know, Craigslist, things like that, and started selling things and put all the money in an account. Mm. And then what we did was we took that money and bought a car with it.
Oh.
And so we didn't have to finance it.
Good.
And then what we're doing now intentionally for the future is we're taking what we would have had to pay for a car payment and paying it to ourselves into an account for our future car.
There you go.
And putting that away. And then when we have the money for a new car or need a car, the money will be there and we won't have to have paid the interest that everybody else is hit with in buying a vehicle.
That's it, man. Hey, listen, and you do that kind of thing intentionally over an extended period of time and it really works. Now, what are you doing with the empty spaces in your house from all the stuff you sold?
Well, we still have a lot of stuff to get rid of, I'll admit. you know, 32 years of marriage, 33, you collect a lot of stuff. So we still have some stuff to get rid of, but we're also hoping that in the next 2 years, we can move closer to my daughter and two of our grandchildren in Traverse City and downsize to a smaller house at that time. So, you know.
And that ain't a bad place to move to. Traverse City is a nice place.
Oh, it's beautiful. And being close to an 8- and 10-year-old grandsons will be, you know, a major blessing. And,
right.
You know, hopefully I can influence them, you know, to have a closer walk with Christ by being closer.
Good for you. Well, you're making decisions,
yeah.
Karen, and the decisions sometimes are right in front of us, like decluttering, downsizing, turning to assets that are, you know, that we have in your case, maybe a lot of stuff you're not using. You turned it to liquid. took that liquidity, that cash, and bought a car so you don't have to make payments, and now taking that money you put into car payments to set aside for a future vehicle. I mean, life is built on these kinds of intentional decisions one after another. It's a little bit over an extended period of time. Anything in life is a little bit over an extended period of time. Like I've said in past programs, you eat less than you burn in a day, or spend less than you earn in a day, and you do that over an extended period of time. And not only do you lose weight, maybe get healthier, but certainly move toward getting out of debt. And that's what, you know, that's what you're doing. So congratulations to you, Karen. Appreciate your call, and much success to you.
Well, it works, just even the little things. You'd be amazed at how much those $10, $15, $20, $50 items add up really quickly.
Oh, boy.
And get you ahead, you know, so you're not paying that credit card debt, you know, interest and things like that. So, you know, a little bit goes a long way.
It really does. Thank you, Karen.
And it's your intentional message that got to us and helped us, you know, dig out of the hole and now get ahead.
Well,
so we really
good.
Appreciate you and your program and your message. And I hope others listen because it really works.
Yeah, it really does. Thank you, Karen. Appreciate you calling in, sharing that story with us. Let's move over now back to our teaching studio after the session on this series. We passed the mic around to share with staff and hear what they were thinking and what their questions and comments were. Let's take a listen. Let me ask you guys a question. What's one thing that you'd share that would be, hey, in the next 30 days that you know would be a positive thing in your own life?
Well, just what you said, I was while you were ending, to actually intentionally think positive thoughts, and instead of thinking negative at the issue or problem.
Taking captive every thought out of obedience to Christ. There's a great one thing for a month. And just saying, hey, you know, I'm going to take captive these thoughts. It will change your life. There's no question. We become dominated by our thoughts. Okay, what else?
For me, it would be minimalizing my life a little bit, getting rid of some clutter. Overcluttered, I just collect things and a little bit impulsive about buying things I don't need. particularly when it comes to technology and equipment and stuff like that, but drives my wife crazy. But I just know that the more clutter and stuff I get, the more anxious I feel, and also the less joy I have in life.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, sure, it's the more things I pack in, it's like it takes up space that should be used for more important things.
It's good.
I haven't decided this morning to do this, but something that I am doing is between now and, or we've already started it, before Lauren goes to college, we're going through a book on how do you find the right guy.
Mm.
It's a very biblical book, and we're going out about every 2 or 3 weeks for lunch and talking about it.
Wow, good for you. Daddy's doing that with her daughter. That's powerful. That's good, Matt. There's the one thing. Brings honor to, I mean, let's get this really practical stuff, right? This brings glory to God when you're doing that. And it benefits you and your daughter, hopefully. Very good.
I think for me lately, I just keep hearing the word distraction at church and here. And I really feel like God's telling me, kind of like with Derek, it's like, what's in your life that's cluttering you? And I think it's my phone. And I go home and I just get lost at it, games and whatever. And I feel like he's like, you need to put it down and you need to get back to the basics, back to the how things used to be. So
that's good.
That's my goal.
I think you can buy, isn't there something you can buy now, a little safe or something? You can put it in and lock it. It's got a timer on it so you can't get to it for 2 hours or something. Huh? Yeah, you're in sweats waiting for your timer. It's interesting how, and you're not alone on that, Laura. That's pervasive. It rings and you think, I got to go see who that is right away. That's good. Okay, something else. One thing. This is real practical.
My one thing that I started with the first of the year, which because of clutter I'm still doing, is decluttering our household. Starting like with one drawer, one room, one closet, and taking that to Teen Challenge or Casa de los Niños so that those things can be used to bring ministry to the kids or to the guys and gals that they serve. The challenge with that is staying focused, because I can be doing one closet and then it comes to mind something else that I know for sure I don't need in another room. And then I can start cleaning out that drawer. So I've got to stay really focused tightly on the task at hand.
You know, in doing research, Raydeen, I found a little technique that works when you work it, when you do it, which I don't, so it doesn't work for me. You get a little timer, and you set the timer for, though they recommend 25 minutes. I don't know why 25, but probably sounds better than 30. 25 minutes. And during that 25 minutes, you know you're being very intentional about, you're not going to do anything else, but you also know it's coming to an end. And then when that buzzer rings, you can do something else or reset it. And I have found for me, because I'm like that, it's like I'm doing this, I'm thinking, squirrel, you know, again, squirrel, that I say, okay, I've committed to saying that timer. I can hear it, you can hear it ticking too. I mean, it's actually a length timer, tick, 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 tick. And then you just stay focused until that done. When I've done it, it works. When I don't do it, it doesn't work. Okay, good. What else? One thing. Practical.
I'm going to go back to the phone thing. One thing that I've been doing for quite a while now is if our family is going to dinner, I will leave the phone in the car, in the glove box. So it's not even on my person to be distracted by.
That's great. Hey, listen, we're back here at our Intentional Living studio. Wanted to have you listen in a little bit to our staff and visitors who were with me. When I taught this series on the power of one thing when God is in it. And I want to thank all of our members, those of you who stand with us in prayer and financial support each and every month. You make it possible for Intentional Living to be on the air and to have this ministry. And I want to share with you and everyone listening right now a request, because we have an urgent need. The need is to eliminate a donation shortfall that we've experienced over the last few months. And if you could share a gift of $100 or more, every dime, every dollar goes back into the ministry of Intentional Living. Right now, I'd like to be able to say thanks by sending to you a new parenting resource called The Fruit of the Spirit, a 30-day guide to fruitful parenting. And so for your best gift today, whatever it is that God lays on your heart, I want to make sure we get this to you. Thank you, members, for sharing an extra gift. For those of you who maybe for the first time today, we'd appreciate it. Go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, and click on donate. Tomorrow, an inspiring story of a young couple whose plans were shattered, but they chose to trust God anyway, no matter what. We talk about the power of one thing. You'll hear it tomorrow. Hope to see you then.